This is the day that the Lord hath made. Name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. Amen. Let's get comfortable, please. As if you weren't already comfortable enough. What are they calling you these days? Are they calling you Rachel? Are they calling you Reverend?
Reverend.
Are they calling you Reverend Rachel?
Any of those.
Any of those will do. The joy it is to be here. Many years ago, I was here when my sister, the priest, Deborah Dunn, was in this congregation. It's been a long time. And I feel like a number of loops have kind of closed coming back. And I feel Deborah's presence in this place. I think it kind of gelled a little bit when I got motioned over. I felt kind of like the comedian when, you know, they did a pretty good job and Johnny Carson would, you know, come on over, sitting up. That's how I felt when Rachel did that. But I wanted to see those smiling faces on those acolytes and the deacon, because I could just sense the joy and feel the joy. And in that, whenever I feel joy and whenever I see joy, I see my sister, the priest, Deborah Dunn. And so it's nice. It's really wonderful to be here. I like to use titles in sermons. My title today is RSVP. RSVP, and there's a bumper sticker that I kind of telegraphed this last week when talking with some people in your leadership team. Always invite, never expect. Always invite, never expect. We have this, I think, screaming through these two parables this morning, because that's really what we have in the gospel today. The first parable is the invitation to the wedding feast. That takes care of about the first 10 verses of chapter 22 of St. Matthew. You can also find it, by the way, a version of it in Luke chapter 14. We're reminded here of the marriage supper of the Lamb. You'll find that in Revelation chapter 19, when God's people of all ages will unite in fellowship to honor God's Son. My guess is anything that has to do with marriage these days, I'm not naming names. And especially, I can only imagine if it has to do with banquets and with invitation. I can only imagine. I have vague memories of this coming up on 33 years. Good memories, though. To get back to the point, God's servants, prophets, in all ages, right down to the apostles, will be invited to this event. And that's something coming in the future. The invitation to the wedding feast is an invitation to be part of God's family. And I look out here this morning, pretty good cross-section. God's family is alive and well in this place. And it does my heart so good to see you. This invitation was first offered to the Jewish people. But the excuses given by those who do not attend the feast sound a lot like what we might hear today. Luke's version, one just bought a new house, needed time in the garden, one made a new business deal involving oxen, another involved marriage and family. Now, these are not bad things in and of themselves, but sometimes I'd like to suggest that we can find ourselves so busy, how shall I say it, making a living, that we forget to make a life. Matthew gives two basic classes. One simply ignored Jesus Christ due to farm and business. The other insulted him by opposing prophets such as John the Baptist, Stephen, apostles such as James. And then there's a second invitation offered to people we know as Gentiles, those outside the Jewish race. And we can only reject the invitation so long before the invitation will be withdrawn. That's the first parable. The second is the parable of a man without a wedding garment. Are you having wedding garments in your? No, okay. Now here we have a picture of a great feast in which someone crashes the party without the right clothes. Now, I was thinking about that as I came today. I always wonder, one of the things you wonder about a lot when you drive down the 91 for as far as I drove to get here this morning. At least you wonder when you're not a-wandering on the bumps. And part of what I wondered was, what were people going to look like when I got here? And boy, you're all over the map today. I mean, if I had known, I would have just worn my golf outfit and been right on the. Next time I come, I'm going to do that, I promise. The robe covers a multitude of sin. It certainly does. But the clothes in question here can only be provided by the king. That's that second parable. All right. So what are these parables saying to us today? Here in this beautiful third Sunday of October. First, the gospel invitation is for everyone. Everyone. So the question that arises from that, I know what I think about where you are today, but it's always worth asking, are we truly exercising Christian hospitality? Have we hit the streets lately? You know, the gospel excludes no one willing to hear and to respond. Second, what are we inviting others to experience? It's one thing to invite people in, but what are they going to get when they come in? You know, I think sometimes in our zeal to reach others, we water down our message so much as to be indistinguishable from the secular realm. So the question is, are we remembering and sharing Jesus' concern for justice and freedom? And third, what about the messenger's appearance? How are we choosing to appear before God when Christ returns? Maybe another way to say this is, do we use the product ourselves? I mean, any good advertiser will posit that question of the one who's out there selling the product. Do we use it ourselves? Now, my guess is, given that Bishop Taylor was here last Sunday, and you presented some people for confirmation, right? And so everybody who was here had an opportunity to rehearse the baptismal covenant and the five promises that we make subsequent to that. So you've had that opportunity to rehearse. That doesn't have to just happen when the bishop comes. That's a great examine. That's a great way to look inward so that we know what we're doing when we reach outward. Looking inward to review our beliefs and the promises we make about the Christian life. And then fourth, and I think this is probably the most important, and I'm going to tell you that you have this one. You've got this one down. The parables remind us that the Christian is invited to joy. And this gets us over into the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah today inviting us to sing along when these words are said. It will be said on that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him. so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. My sisters and brothers, on this day, I pray that we will continue to give our RSVP to the heavenly banquet by doing the things we have seen, heard, received, learned, and experienced in this place, so that the God of peace will surely be with us. Amen.